Hello, welcome to Line of Judah Online. My name's Gary Stevens. We're continuing on with the subject called prayer, communication, intimacy, and relationship. We're doing part five of a 12-part series, and we're doing topic number six today. It's called the hindrances to prayer or the blockages to prayer. In the last part of this message, we actually dealt with all the different types of prayer, the positive side of it. But today I want to talk about the hindrances to prayer or the blockages to prayer. This is a negative side that you need to know so you can prevent this happening in your prayer life. Let's go to the first point. An unforgiving heart will stop your prayers from being answered. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, that when we started praying, we must forgive. Let's go to that scripture now. Starting at verse 22, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for truly or assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain or problem, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." We see very clearly in this scripture, Jesus is saying that you need to forgive. An unforgiving heart or an unforgiving spirit will stop our prayers being answered by God. If you've got any unforgiveness towards anybody, forgive them and release it. Unforgiveness also has a way to open up the door for sickness to come into a person's life. We also see in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, and it reads, Jesus speaking once again, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So it's very important that we forgive people, and that releases us from the problem. That releases us from the problem of having Satan coming into our lives and having a foothold or a doorway into our lives. Let us now go to the next point. Wrong relationships with partners or with other believers puts a brake on our prayer life. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This scripture is talking to husbands. It's a word to husbands, and it says, "Husbands, likewise dwell or live with your wives with understanding, giving honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may be answered." I want to mention here something too. When it says the wife is the weaker vessel, they're not talking about spiritually, they're talking about physically. The male is much stronger normally than the female, and that's why it's talking about weaker vessel. But in this scripture, it says, "Husbands, likewise, live with them with understanding, giving honor to your wife." In other words, respect your wife, talk to her properly, that your prayers will be not hindered or blocked or affected in a negative sense. Let us now go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 24, and it reads, Jesus speaking here, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go away. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Jesus is saying, if you've got something against your brother, or your brother's got something against you, go and have a talk to them and clear the situation before you come to the altar with your gift. It's very important. Unforgiveness is not good in any relationship at all. Let's go to the next point. Wrong motives will hinder your prayer. God looks on the heart and is strong on the behalf of those whose heart is pure before him. We go to James chapter 4, verse 3, and reading, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." The scripture is saying here, your motive for asking God for something is based on your own pleasure. It's a selfish prayer, and God won't answer that. Turning to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, and Jesus speaking, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, when you shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret place, that your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their much words." In the scripture here, we see that the hypocrites like to pray in the open and be recognized by men. And God is saying they've already received their reward. God wants us to go into our quiet place, our secret place, house of prayer, you might call it, and pray to him in secret. And because we pray to him in secret, his reward will come in the open to us. So it's very important here that our motive is clean and not to be recognized by other people. Let us go to another scripture, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And this is Jesus speaking. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Verse 9, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, Jesus speaking, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes to all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes into heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, in the scripture, we see a wrong motive by the Pharisee. God is interested in humility and not pride when we pray. Let us go to the next point. If you are constantly speaking words that deny your prayer or say the opposite of what you've been asking God for, you yourself are short-circuiting your own prayer. Your words must reflect faith in God's faithfulness to his word. What do I mean by that? When you pray for something, for instance, let's go back to healing. You've been sick. You go to God's word. You get the word of God and it says, by his stripes you are healed in Jesus' name. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. But if I don't receive that, if the person doesn't receive that immediately, they start to say, well, God, I thought I was healed, but I'm not. You won't receive your prayer answered if you pray on one side, I'm healed, and on the other side, after a while, you say, well, I didn't receive my healing. That doesn't match up with faith. Faith continues to say, thank you, I've received my healing. No matter how sick I am at present, I'm healed in Jesus' name. So your words that you're speaking constantly will either deny your prayer or they will acknowledge your prayer. So be very careful of what you say, how you say it. Don't go by what you feel or what you see or what you hear. You go by the word of God and say it's done in Jesus' name. Let us now go to the next hindrance. It's called doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief will stop your prayer from being answered. We go to James chapter 1 verses 6 to 7 and it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave upon the sea driven by and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. The Bible is very clear here. It's saying, if you're double-minded, if you're doubting, you won't receive the thing you're praying for by faith from God. We also see in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the same principle. When you doubt an unbelief that you have not received by faith, then you won't receive it. It's a very simple process. You pray in faith, believing what you can't see, that you've got it before you receive it. Let us go now to the last point. Not realizing who you are in Christ can hinder your faith in God's willingness or ability to answer your prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 we go to. In verse 21 it reads, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Not realizing who you are in Christ Jesus can block, stop, or hinder your faith in God's willingness and ability to answer your prayer. Therefore, when you go into prayer, you have to believe you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have the right and the authority to pray in the name of Jesus to the Father in heaven and have your prayer answered. All these points that I've just mentioned can stop, hinder, block, or divert your prayer life. So it's important to get these points, work your way through these points one by one and eliminate them and to put yourself in a position to pray in righteousness and receive by faith. Remember, faith is receiving something you can't see yet. The world says, or the world system says, I believe it when I see it. God's system says you have to believe it before you see it. And then after you believe and stand in faith, you will see it. Thank you for being with me today. I hope you've enjoyed this message. It's important to understand the problems or the hindrances that can happen in our prayer life to block and stop our prayers being answered. The next part coming up will be part 6 from the 12-part message, and it's dealing with topic number 7 called A Deeper Meaning in Prayer. Thank you for being with me today, and God bless. Bye-bye.